With Christina Riggs from the School of World Art Studies and Museology, and she's going to give us some background information on one of the favourite items in the collection, the faience hippo.
Right, thanks Pippa. We're not actually in front of the hippo, which I find a bit odd, so I'm having to remember it in my mind, but it's such a popular item that that's fairly easy to do, and it's really centrally placed, so it's one of the first things you see when you walk into the Egyptian section of the collection as it's displayed in the living area. I think the hippo seems to appeal to visitors because it's a hippo, it's nice and round, mm-hmm. and looks quite sort of cute, I suppose. And I think it's also maybe it's a bit of a mystery. Whenever I ask people what they think it's made out of, if I cover up the label and ask them what it's made out of, they sort of draw blank because they guess it's stone. Some people say jade, some people say turquoise. Some people think, oh, maybe it's actually clay, it's ceramic, some kind of pottery. So it's a bit of a mystery, but appealing as a hippo. And hippos are nice animals. I've got a couple of them, well, little ones, sitting in my office, not real ones, but little ones. So they're sort of round and curvy and plump, but we have to keep in mind that in the wild they're ferocious animals. They're huge, can be extremely destructive, and will charge humans, so they would have been deadly. And they were also, though, in ancient Egypt and elsewhere, sort of Eastern Africa, an important kind of source of products. So hippopotamus teeth were used as ivory carvings. You could presumably also use the skin and meat, although I don't know that, but I would think if you've got a dead hippopotamus, you'd use as much of it as you could. So the idea of the hippopotamus as something that's a ferocious animal is important to why you would make a hippopotamus figure, but you're also making the figure in order to control the ferocious animal so that it's not dangerous anymore. And by putting the hippopotamus in a tomb, for instance, you're kind of combining the natural world with the world of the deceased. And often these figures of hippos were broken or had their legs broken off to render them sort of magically safe and protected. There's also an association between the hippo and the Nile River, which is the source of all life and everything that's good and wonderful, and the source of creation in Egypt itself. So if you look closely at the figure of the hippo in the SCVA, you'll see some little black lines that snake around the body, and those are depictions of reeds and lotus flowers and the papyrus marshes that grow along the Nile. So it's all the plant life of the Nile embodied in the animal itself, so recalling the way the hippos will go into the river to cool themselves down in hot weather. These would have stood out much more when this object was